Thank you, Holy Spirit, you are here. Thank you for this assembly, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your cloud. Thank you for the river of God, that your word will flow into us. In Jesus' name we pray. I'd like to put this on a stand. Good morning to you. We have been coming to Sri Lanka since 1997 every year, to UK every year. And this year we find sparks and hope and jubilee and party in the streets. We expect all these things to turn into spiritual realities, isn't it? Natural first and then the spiritual follows. Thank you. Yes. When I first came to UK in 1997, I had a vision as I woke up in the morning in our friend's home in London, and it was I saw the brick foundation. It was a brick foundation, and the Lord said, these are the old ancient brick foundations of Britain, and they looked mildewed, overgrown with ivy. Some bricks were loose, but the Lord made me to understand, blow on this that they can still live. So when I blew on this in my interactive visions are called trances, isn't it? I blew on this. And then I saw little scrolls coming out of the foundation with the names of those who had laid down their lives for Britain, spiritually speaking. Lollard, Wycliffe, John Wesley, William Booth, Hudson Taylor, William Carey. Little notes came out. Then I realized their labors, their love and their prayers still work for Britain. And it only needs a little bit of breathing by the church in Britain for these ancient foundations to come alive and to Britain to become Christian again. So we believe this in our heart. So every year we kept coming, and some years we came twice a year, because the Lord had put Britain into our hearts. Our nation has benefited greatly from British rule. We had quite the better part of the British Empire. So we benefited from the literature, from studies, civil service, schools, police service, railways, everything we have in Sri Lanka is British, including our AR and FR, that is administrative and financial regulations. So we kept coming back, and this year we find there's a real spark in the air. Even the British are hoping. In past years I have found them criticizing the government, with a lot of vitriol in their words, but this time I found they are speaking of the government with hope and about the Queen's Jubilee, and we sense a turning around for Britain, and we are very glad for that. I will first look at briefly at the ministry of Stephen, then look at the martyrdom of Stephen, and in between I hope the sun to stop like in the Valley of Ayalon, so that time will stretch. Actually, in the Valley of Ayalon, it is probably that the earth stopped rotating rather than the sun stopped, isn't it? So, Acts chapter 6, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews, who were the majority, who were the British, by the Hellenist Greek-speaking Jews, who were the Irish, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. This description fits for Sri Lanka also. I'm a majority Sinhala race, and our problem was that our minority Tamil people felt very oppressed. But here we are looking at more safe things to look at. Far back in history, there were these Hebrews, terrible fellows, oppressing the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So that was a fact, because it was not imagination, it wasn't perception, it was a fact. Widows were neglected. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation," and their reputation was that they had wives, good wives. That actually reads wife, huh? "Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, this business had to do with ladies and widows who didn't get enough food. What on earth are these seven men doing in a ladies' ministry, isn't it? Do you see an anachronism, something that doesn't fit? The thing was, it was a problem about the Greek-speaking Jewish widows. But the rabble rousers were the men. So they had to get hefty men. They were either hefty in muscular power or hefty in spiritual power. Because the problem was created by the men. Whereas Greek-speaking widows bore it up with Christian grace. Haven't you asked why men to distribute food in the kitchen? After all, in our country, men get interested in food only after everything is cooked and the table is laid. But I have found in Britain it's different, that often the husband helps, and so thank you for the example. Okay. So then they appoint this, and the qualification for this business, which looked a mundane business, but the qualification was that they should be of good reputation, good, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. Wisdom always comes with knowledge. Will you please tell me, wisdom is based on knowledge? Can you repeat it with me? Wisdom is based on knowledge. Because they had to have knowledge about the business about which they had to have wisdom. Without knowledge, you can't have wisdom. Whom we may appoint over this business. And the business was being fair to these widows, see that they get their daily portion of food. So it's a thing to learn, therefore, even for the many physical things we do in engaging community, we should be full of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, people will only see good works and say we are good people, but they will still go without Christ to everlasting damnation. That is, if you believe in everlasting damnation, which I believe in, but these days it is in. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch. All were Greeks. Why did they choose all Greek-speaking? I mean Greek-speaking Jews. When there was a dispute. Now we would have thought there should have been a fair share of some Hebrew-speaking and Greek-speaking in the seven, isn't it? But these are all Greeks, Greek-speaking. Simply because the 12 apostles were all Hebrew-speaking. So the complaint comes at the head, isn't it? Whomever you complain about, ultimately it rests with the head. So since 12 were seemingly all Hebrew-speaking Jews, and they hadn't done fairly, or they had not seen this, they appointed Greek-speaking seven. Yes. And everybody was happy about this. Whom they set before the apostles, and they, when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And here is church growth. The word of God increased. Can we have the slide show? The second slide, I think. Second one. Thank you. Word of God is increasing. This is from the New American Standard, which is about the best translation I have come across. Word of God is, will you say with me, this is what's going to happen to River Church? Yes. Word of God is increasing. Number of disciples increasing, was multiplying exceedingly. We wait for a time like that, isn't it? In Sri Lanka, that time hasn't come. Churches are still small. Though the war is over, our problems are not over. There's a lot of sadness, sorrow, brokenness, bruises that need to be healed up. Churches are not increasing in numbers as such. Churches are there. Good evangelistic work is going on. Many are turning to Christ. But we still can't say multiplying exceedingly. Multiplying moderately? Yes. Yes. Even a great crowd of the priests obeyed the faith. Now that is then. Who are the priests today who need to obey the faith? Who are the priests, actually the masses in UK are listening to, who are attending on their soul's satiation? Who are the priests who are soothing your neighbors, young people, children? Lulling them and entertainers, isn't it? Harry Potter, isn't it? Richard Dawkins, isn't it? The priests of the masses. Will you believe they can come to Christ? Will you take that challenge up? They can come to Christ. Because they listen to these people. And it's even their spirit and soul are getting touched. Spirit dead to God. Soul awakened, excited by the things these people do. So we need them coming to Christ. Will you say amen? And if you really want to get them to Christ, you have a battle. You have a battle. I really get quite... Is it okay to get angry? But sin not, isn't it? Okay. I really get angry when I sit in church gatherings and they are talking about doctrines, how they need to change. I mean, there's a world out there who need to hear Jesus Christ and bow their knee to him and come in. And if we can concentrate on these priests who are wooing the souls of modern man in UK, churches will multiply exceedingly. We have to pray through and every church target those whom we want to come to church because they have a following. And the following will come when they come. We must believe in this. Amen. The word of God increased and the disciples multiplied and priests came to faith and Stephen full of faith and power. And of course priests in the Anglican church, they are coming to Christ, isn't it? In the 1980s, the new church thought that the older church will get buried. They didn't get buried. They are well and alive. Happy for that? Yeah. Well and alive. Thank God, isn't it? They are well and alive. And they are going to get better and more well and more alive in time to come. Will you say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So their ministry was not limited to looking after the church. They went outside, and this was part of their ordination. They went outside having faith and power, doing great wonders and miracles. So that's church growth. Yes. Now I want to go back to the first slide. And get to his martyrdom. Now this was Stephen's perspective. Before getting there, let me get to the last part of his address to the Sanhedrin that was interrogating him. Acts 7:44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. So God's tabernacle, witness and wilderness is waiting to hear. Will you say to me, wilderness is waiting to hear? Wilderness is waiting to bloom. Streams in the desert. Lame shall walk. Deaf shall hear. The dumb shall speak. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So always the tabernacle of witness is set in juxtaposition to a wilderness. Our people outside, they need Christ. They need what we have. The tabernacle loses witness, ceases to be God's tabernacling unless God is connecting through us with the wilderness outside. They need Christ. We can have many euphemistic denials that they are okay, but they need Christ. They need Christ. They need grace. They need Christ. They need penitence. They need repentance. I find in many circles today there's a fear to talk about sin and judgment. I was reading John Wesley recently. He says, I'll rather preach judgment and wrath before I preach love and grace. Because, he says, then only people will understand why love and grace in God's economy is necessary. So I find there's a lot of going around the bush and these bad words. Don't say sin. Don't say judgment. Then why will they know they know they need God? How will they know they need him? And we will also drop our passion unless we are willing to persuade. And why would we persuade? 2 Corinthians 5:10. Because we know their best destiny is with God, and destiny without God is terrible. So we are persuaded to persuade. Otherwise, we'll all be slush, slush, slush. Understanding, lest others misunderstand. Now, Stephen had no problems about this. So, the tabernacle, set in the wilderness, for wisdom, appointed instructing Moses, the apostle of that time, to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Can you take a moment and see whether a church has seen what was shown? Can there be a disconnect between what is shown and what is seen? What is shown and what is seen? Showing is God's business. Seeing is our business. So if veils come of new theological fantasies and fantasizing and explanations, you will be putting a veil to what he has shown. So you will be seeing partly and building a tabernacle according to what you have seen, having not seen all what he has shown. I find this is a great possibility, so that we may miss all what he has for any local assembly, for any church. Then I move on to the pattern that he had seen. Thank God for the pattern you have seen. You have implemented the life of God you have in this place. Will you say the life of God we have? In this place. Thank you, Father. Now this is Stephen's perspective. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? So the River Church asks, what house will we build for the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? So heaven is his throne. When God finds a footstool, he puts his legs up there and comes to rest. His venous circulation increases, his sympathetic nerve tones come down, and he can rest and he can feel pleasurable. Wrath lifts up, mercy is poured out. Will you say amen? That's a little bit of medical theology or theological medicine, whichever way. So his throne is everlasting, and every nation feels his throne, whatever Richard Dawkins says. A few months ago, he had an interview with Rowan Williams, and he conceded that he's quite sure that God is not there, but not absolutely sure, which means he's old-fashioned agnostic, just a tick. Oh, nothing new in this. Not quite sure. Not absolutely sure God is not there. If he was absolutely sure, it's a new thing. But from times past, people have been saying, we are not sure God is not there. That's agnostic. That is that's a respectable Greek. The Latin is ignoramus. We didn't say it. I mean, just a comparative Latin. So, his throne is felt in every nation and will be implemented, acted through, executed, if he can just get a footstool. Footstool is where he keeps his footprints and walks amongst his people. You remember Revelation 1, chapter 18 or so, Christ walking among the lampstands. When he has lampstands among which he walks, and he has pleasure, he rests. He waits on a nation. He looks for a company with whom he can wait. Nations change. There was a company. Will you say any nations change? There was a company that waited long enough with God. Heaven needs time. More time than football. A cricket match takes, a test cricket match, 5 days. Surely heaven needs at a time more than 5 days. But we give heaven respectfully 1 hour, better churches 2 hours, midweek meeting, graciously by our grace, isn't it? Will we please learn to give heaven time? We understood this in Sri Lanka in 1994 when we were just moving into understanding prayer governance. A new president had come, a very gracious lady president. And the Lord said, induct her in your assembly. I said, what? Induct the president. I said, no, she has a state ceremony for that induction. No, you induct the president in your assembly. And the assembly was meeting in our home and we were such a small assembly. But we had been praying into the nation and responding to the crisis that the nation faced up to that time, every time. So we said, okay, we had this small meeting and we acted as if she's in our midst and we inducted her as the president of Sri Lanka. Immediately the weather changed that day. There was drought and drought broke and there was really temperature came down and Sri Lanka has two seasons, raining and warm. Other season is more rain and more warm. So we have two seasons. So season changed and we understood and then I heard that day the Lord saying, I said, Lord, why don't you come to this nation? Because we knew our nation is desolate. Why don't you come to this nation? Then he said, do you know the pain I have when I come to a nation and I have to leave it suddenly? Now, I did not know this, you know, God is omniscient, omnipresent, he's transcendent, he's immanent. So what is this business about him feeling leaving nations? That means he's leaving a nation, he's leaving a company to whom he gave his heart because they gave their heart. So the tragedy of Sri Lanka happened actually in 1956. A very vibrant church called the Ceylon Pentecostal Mission, which had all the miracles, all the glory that all the manifestations Toronto had, Pensacola had, HTB had, what else do you want to add? They had it all. Apostolic Christianity, tremendous miracles, people getting attracted to Christ. But in 1956, the founding apostles went wrong. And it was a fully integrated church, both races worshipping together, songs composed trilingually, English, Sinhala and Tamil. But they had this bug coming. It must have been some kind of attack. He went wrong. Church divided on racial lines. Before we had any racial problem in the nation, it happened in the church. 2 years later, we saw it in the nation. Our first troubles came in 1958. So it was that the Lord was referring to when I had to leave this nation. Do you know the pain? So I couldn't say yes because I did not know the pain. Then the Lord said, can you keep faith with me that I may come again? I couldn't say yes because I did not know the cost of what this was. We had given up our provisions and given ourselves to the Lord's call, but I did not know. We knew cost in giving up medical and legal professions and taking to a pastor's vocation. We knew the cost for that. We did not know the cost of what it takes to have God ruling in the church that the nation may be transformed. We did not know. So I did not say yes, but we found over the next many years God working with us to fit us into that through many trials and errors, that he may have a community who feel, think, act 24/7. Understand the word 24/7? 24 hours, 7 days a week as the footstool of God. He comes, he moves, he rests, he feels, he loves, he laughs in the community he found. And then his jurisdiction, authority, decrees get executed at every level. First, in the lives of the community, of the people who give themselves to this kind of community. Not part-time Christianity, full-time Christianity. Martyrdom. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now the life I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20 and the earlier one is Philippians 1:21. When God finds people like that, he says, this is a living sacrifice. I must go and receive it. And if there's a living sacrifice all the time, Leviticus 6:11, the fire never goes out in the altar. and sweet incense all the time, he comes. That nation becomes his because he has found a bride with whom he can live in the nation. So this is old time theology with contemporary application. Because in the new church becoming new, because our old Pentecostal ancestors were extreme, weren't they? They're not very educated, isn't it? Not even very theological, isn't it? But they had it. They took nations. They took nations. John G. Lake took South Africa. All Pentecostal apostles shook their nation. So, we should not throw out the baby with the bathwater, isn't it? So we need to return to the truth that is life that can govern a nation. Jurisdiction in our heart. We are the shepherds. David Cameron is the under shepherd. If you think like that, you take his decisions, his challenges into your heart, isn't it? Who knows? Nick Clegg might come to Christ. Give him a chance. When you discuss him, give him a chance. Yes. Nobody is beyond the pale. I understood this is an Irish description, this pale. I was taught this. So, when you speak, give people a chance. Can I plead with you for this? We have to pray for prime ministers, queen, president. We have to pray. Because our prayers make them better. And our criticisms make them worse. Yeah. So that's we have to get this, that we make a nation better or worse by the words of our tongue. Life or death is in our tongue. We in Sri Lanka, we give life our baba. So morning till about from morning, we get up quite early. We get up at about 4:30 in the morning. It's a life habitus, not any heroism. We just get up because Sri Lanka tea beckons. At 4:30 in the morning, something says tea, 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 tea. So we are woken up early by the Lord. This has been a long, lifelong habit. Until about 2, I don't like to take appointments because I feel I had to get it with God and with the word, all our assemblies, our city, our nation, what is the president doing? Our schools at 6 o'clock. 9 a.m., our judges and all who are making decisions and the legislature. Then 12 o'clock, the executive and the business world transactions. 3 p.m., we have to think of doctors and other services, you know, that go on in the country. All this is our concern. All this is community concern equals church concern. We prayer govern them. We pray for better things to come in a very bruised nation that has made very unwise choices. But we don't whip them with the bad choices they make. We substitute for them the good choices they can make. And we continually speak it in prayer. In our 24/7 prayer house, 24/7 still doesn't happen. But as many hours as possible we occupy with a prophetic national time clock. It's all abroad, schools and teachers, drivers and roads, transport. You get the 9 a.m., judiciary decisions, executive, business world transactions, the tea auction and whatnot, doctors, lawyers, the services, you know, evening hours, get the point. The night time, the police, the military and so on. So it's a prayer governing prayer clock. I have brought very few books, but maybe I'll send some to Elaine, if you liked, you can take some of our books and see how we do these things. For us, this is very real. This is not theory. We live this, we do this. And we have seen a war stopping. Nobody thought that war will end. But it stopped. But we are now into prayer governing and working into the areas that have been so bruised and hurt. We don't wait for the government to do it. We do it first because we are the forerunners of government, good governmental intention. Will you say it, me? Christians are the forerunners of good governmental intention. we do it first, then government gets wisdom. Because we have done it first. Do you understand? Regarding abortion, pregnant mothers, unwed mothers, single mothers, divorce, we do the right thing first. We offer mercy first. We offer houses of refuge first. You remember the Old Testament had cities of refuge? Church everywhere is a city of refuge. That really is the city. Isaiah 26, it's a strong city. Where God rules. There's a lofty city, thoughts of men. Which city do you really belong to? Which city do you think will work? Strong city of God or the lofty city of man? When we reduce our Christianity just to survival mode and 1 hour Sunday, we reduce God's scope in the world. The problem is not with politicians. The problem is with the church. Church is not filling the space God asks her to fill. When we take our position in our little ecumen, your little world, and fill it up with God, your street, those who interact with, fill with God, beginning with praise, worship, read the word, pronounce the word. Every word I read every day, I say, let this happen in my nation. This word must become incarnate in the lives of those who know. In the trade, in the business, we are constantly looking outward as we read the word. We read the word a lot. We are in the presence of God a lot. We are also in the roads of Colombo a lot. By spirit and in fact. That's how we pitch all our assemblies. We have about 60 assemblies, north to south, east to west, all over Sri Lanka. So what we are saying, we have modeled on earth, it is possible. But it takes time. Heaven, will you say with me, heaven needs time. The rule of heaven needs time from me. Affections of God needs passion from me. If Christians give passion and time, they will rule their nation. Righteousness will flourish, wickedness will decrease. Rulers will become better because they hear the word of God. They hear the voice of God. They hear the fear and the reverence of God Christians have. And the Christian's world is enlarging. So Maidenhead River, your world will enlarge. Your influence will enlarge, isn't it? Thank God for the influence you have in the world outside. It will expand. It will enlarge because of each of you. This is not the pastor's job. It is your job. You are the grain. Grain knows the ground. Will you say, I'm the grain? I know my ground. God made the grain. God makes the ground into which I will fall, die, live and resurrect with Jesus' call in my life. The nations change, isn't it? We have a good hope for our city, our neighborhood, our nation. Because we know what God has put into us and we know our call. Okay. My wife says my time is up. Obviously the sun didn't stop. So heaven is my footstool. What's the house you will build? What is the place of my rest? We want to give him that place of rest. Will you just go through quickly? Yes, Stephen's strategy, we did it. Now, in persecution times, unusual doors open because authorities arrest you. Because of our troubles, we sought to speak to presidents, prime ministers and ministers. Many times we have gone and met them and spoken the purpose of Christ. Will you say hallelujah? We need a contextualized gospel to Jews and Greeks and those contemporary priests I should have added there. They all need a contextualized, relevant gospel. Will all nations go through persecution? Can a nation be redeemed? Next slide. This was the point at which Stephen confronted them. Next slide. They were cut to the heart, gnashed on him. Next slide. You see, he saw the glory of God. He saw Christ all the time. I want to ask you, have you felt persecution in Britain? Have you taken witness out there? Or did you get quiet so that your Christian moment in you evokes no persecution? I'm safe. That's possible. Moment of your Christianity, the scope of your Christianity, evoke no persecution. That's possible. Nothing changes then. When light meets darkness, there's going to be some sparks. Will you do this for me? When light meets darkness, there's going to be some sparks. That's life worth living. That's where persecution happens. Next one. And position of our warfare is seated with Christ, isn't it? Stephen saw Christ. So we pray looking on the people. We are not pressurized by principalities and powers. We are so scared. We shout. When you shout, you have lost the argument, isn't it? Whenever a husband is shouting at home, we want to go and help him. We know he's in trouble. Wife has already won the battle. He's shouting. So whenever we are shouting at principalities, whatever your theology of spiritual warfare is, you are frightened. When we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, where are the principalities? Under our feet. Under our feet. There is a battle. I'm not denying there's a battle. But it's from the vantage point of seated with Christ. All my life, I haven't seen Satan. I don't hope to see him. I want to see glory. We have been in very dire ministry, casting out demons, and in one meeting about 100 people demon possessed. No problem. Demons just leave at the presence of Christ, at the word of Christ. No problem. What do you need? Only a word of Christ. Matthew 8:17 says, by the word of his mouth, without any devil dancing, any demonstration, they must just leave. Some Asian cultures, probably African cultures, think more the demon-possessed person dance, that is a sign. Not so. That person is getting injured every time. So he must silently leave, quickly leave. Because we are in the glory. So don't deny demons. Don't eulogize demons. They are there to be dealt with and people to be set free. You see, they dragged Stephen out and threw him outside the city. Many secular forces and Christian fear throws the church outside the city. Don't agree to this. Say with me, church belongs in the city. Church belongs in the universities. Church belongs in the marketplace. Church belongs in the parliament. Church belongs in the judiciary. Don't agree to church being thrown outside because of fear, not wanting to engage. Church belongs in the city. Thank God in Britain, church is getting back into the city. Will you say praise the Lord? Okay, I'll have to stop before my wife takes some drastic action. God bless you. Thank you for asking. I'll ask her to minister in prayer. You just catch to that voice of the Spirit. I'm sure the Lord will bless you.
Let's lift up our heart to the Lord in prayer. Shall we stand to our feet? Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence in this house of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of truth, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you write your word in our hearts with your very finger, Lord. We thank you for the fingerprints of God upon our own heart this morning, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for walking with us, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you give us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you encourage the weak ones, Lord. You encourage, Lord, those who are struggling around, Lord. You encourage, Lord, your witness of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in and through your word, Lord. We thank you for the life of St. Stephen, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a young man laid down, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the witness that he had, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of God, Lord. in this house of God, Lord. We thank you for the tabernacle of faith, that God has tabernacled himself, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence, Lord. Now I pray, Father God, that the blessing of the Lord will rest upon your people, Lord. Lord, that the presence of Christ, Lord, you will linger, Lord. Father, the word will echo and re-echo through their hearts, Lord. Father, I pray in the difficult moments, Lord, your word will take over, Lord. We thank you for the word of Christ that is, Lord, made flesh into us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. You clothe your people with your robe, Lord, and you strengthen them with the belt, O God. We thank you, Lord. You cause them to walk, O God, on wearing shoes, Lord, with the gospel of peace, Lord. I pray, Father, that this week will be a week of the grace of God, with the mercy of God. We pray for the miraculous. We pray for the signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord, to manifest in and through their lives. We bless every home represented here this morning, Lord. We ask you to cover every door, window, and lintel, every entry and exit point, Lord, in their homes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, move through your people, Lord. Move through them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.